बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओ किंग प्रथु सन ऑफ वेणु, यू आर द पार्ट एंड पार्सल एक्सपेंशन ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु. Due to the mischievous activities of King Vena, religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Vena.
Yeah. So now what he wants to say, that you have come to establish religious principles, but by your quarreling with Indra, Indra is expanding irreligious principles. So whatever religion Vena propagated, the same situation has again come now. Of course, we agree that you have come to establish religion. That is very good. But your current act of quarreling with Indra is causing irreligion to be on the rise. So he said, then what is the use of your presence and then you are fighting with Indra? Ultimately, irreligion remains religion. Probably this is more dangerous religion than Vena also. At least in Vena's time, he openly said, don't worship Vishnu and all that. But these Kapalika sannyasis and all these people come, they take the respect meant for a sadhu and they are creating a heretic sampradayas all over the world. This is even more worse than religion also, irreligion also. So like that, he want to indicate this important point. See, one time, some sannyasi came to some temple in New Vrindavan. As soon as he entered the temple hall, some 5-6 devotees were there. They all suddenly fell on the ground and offered obeisances. So he turned around and scolded them. He called them nearby and scolded them that, you know, do you have any sense? You don't know the etiquettes that you cannot offer obeisances in front of the deities? So hearing him chastise, they all got frightened. They practically ran away except one or two people. Other people ran away. So in this example, if you see, they were breaking one etiquette in front of the deities. What was that? Abhramasana. And he was breaking another etiquette. Scolding in front of the deities, chastising in front of the deities. So out of the two offenses, which would the deities take more seriously? Like that he was telling, correct, no? So actually his purpose of scolding them was to rectify the wrong. Correct, no? He wanted to rectify their mistake of, he wanted them to learn proper etiquettes. But in the course of educating them in the etiquettes, he himself broke another etiquette. Like that, Brahma is telling Prithu, in the course of setting right Indra, you know, you are causing him to commit more irreligion, exactly like your Vena did before. Now, then how have you improved the world now? Tell me. Vena spoiled the world. And Indra is spoiling the world because of your interaction with him. Stop your wrong interaction with him in such a way that it will not spoil the world even more. Is that clear, everybody? So a sannyasi is coming. In case people are offering obeisances in the front of the deity, you know, he can take them out of the temple hall and then tell them, Prabhu, it's not proper for you to offer obeisances like this in front of the deities when I am there. When I am out, you can do namaskar. You're not supposed to do inside the temple. So, and then they learn a good lesson and go, rather than chastise them in front of the deities. Correct, no? So, that is the point. So, here also he is telling, so, sannyasi's chastisement of those people was actually with the purpose of rectifying their wrong etiquette. But that turned out to be an offense. Correct. In the same manner, Prithu's chasing after Indra to kill him is to actually curb Indra's nefarious plans. But then that is increased, that's becoming a cause of increase of a religion. So, read the next theme, that is 37. You can read the 38 also and then we will come back to this. 38 translation also.
O protector of people in general, please consider the purpose of your being incarnated by Lord Vishnu. The irreligious principles created by Indra are but mothers of so many unwanted religions. Please therefore stop this imitations immediately.
Yeah, in the previous 37th verse, last line, Tad Dehato Vishnu Kala Asi Vainya. He said, oh Prithu, you are actually a Vishnu Kala. You are part of the plenary portion of Vishnu. You have come for establishing religious principles. So don't allow the religious principles to expand through Indra. And here also he is saying that that, you know, he is reminding him of his duty. And Prabhupada is saying in the purport, read the purport, that purport 38.
Lord Brahma addresses King Prithu as Prajapati just to remind him of his great responsibility in maintaining the peace and prosperity of citizens. Maharaj Prithu was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for this purpose only. It is the duty of the ideal king to see that people are properly executing religious principles. Lord Brahma especially requested King Prithu to conquer the pseudo-religious principles produced by King Indra.
Yeah, and then later, last line, 3-4 lines from the bottom of the purport, end of the purport, he proposes, Instead of creating adverse reactions,
it was better for Maharaj Prithu to stop the yajnas in interest of his original purpose as an incarnation. This purpose was to establish good government and set things in right order.
And then one or two lines before that, Prabhupada is saying that Brahma requested Prithu Maharaj to desist from his unnecessary competition with Indra, who was determined to stop Prithu Maharaj from completing 100 yajnas. So Brahma told him, give up your competition with Indra. Either Brahma requested him. So, read the same theme.
Not losing sight of our goal in tackling disturbances.
See, oftentimes the disturbances can capture our attention so much that we may lose sight of our goal. Like one husband wife are going in a car and another fellow overtook them. So this fellow's wife asked, hey, that fellow is overtaking you and you are leaving him. You are not smart in driving. So this fellow wanted to prove to his wife he is smart. So, and he overtook and went so fast, 20-30 kilometers ahead he went. Suddenly he put a brake and wife asked, what happened? He said, we are supposed to take a left turn some 20 kilometers behind. Then he took a U-turn and came back all the way. That means the fellow who overtook him, he created a disturbance. But the disturbance consumed this fellow's attention so much that he forgot his destination, goal behind. So this is literally a physical example I'm telling you. But in our life, you will find that sometimes, imagine you go to a department to get some work done. And there one devotee spoke something little strongly to you. Aisa kaisa hoga Prabhuji? Do din mein kaam nahi hoga. Aapko 2 mahina lagega, he says. Then you pick up quarrel with him. Both sides are talking. And then the purpose for which you went to the department, that you forget. Correct, na? Why you went to get. So there is an end goal to be achieved. So intelligent devotee means, whenever disturbance comes, you can tackle it. But tackling the disturbance is not as important as achieving the goal. Sometimes you get distracted by the disturbances. Sometimes the Shastras also say, the caravan passes, the dogs bark, but the caravan passes, he says. Caravan is like elephant with a, the camel or the elephant. Elephant is majestic and is walking and dog is barking. Sometimes the dog is afraid to bark nearby, he barks from a distance. As the elephant keeps walking like this, dog keeps going and barking, looking back and barking, But the elephant doesn't care, because he only knows his goal. He doesn't get distracted by the disturbance created by the dog. Correct, no? So, if elephant has to pay too much attention to him, he will get distracted. Correct, no? Similarly, here he is saying, Indra is creating disturbance and Prithu's goal is to bring about welfare for the people and please the Supreme Lord. So, that goal should not be forgotten. Like for example, when there is an argument between two devotees also, both are trying to prove who is right. So one of the devotees was an intelligent devotee. He said, Prabhu, whether you are right or I am right, I am, my goal is to please the spiritual master. So that is ultimate goal. So what will please him if I don't quarrel with you? So I agree the defeat. So you be the winner, I'll please the spiritual master, he said. You understand now? So pleasing Guru and Krishna is important, and we have to check what will please them. And therefore I told you in the previous session that we should be able to bend ourselves sometimes. Of course, we should not, in the name of bending, we are not asked to accommodate something compromised thing or accommodate improper things. In fact, in Prithu's case, when Prithu stopped from competing with Indra, Indra also stopped religion. Irreligion. Correct, no? So by, that means if Indra, Prithu stops, Indra stops irreligion also. If Prithu continues fighting with Indra, Indra expands irreligion. So what should Prithu do? Stop, he's saying. Because when you stop, then he stops the religion. This is Brahma's logic. Otherwise he'll create more trouble. Like one congregation devotee was asking, sometimes in a bus or a train, somebody, when we picks up quarrel with us and they give gali to us, what should we do? Should we also give gali? Then I asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I am wearing tilak and kantimala, having a bead bag also in the hand. I know many galis before coming to Krishna consciousness, he said. Now also I can use them, Prabhu. Therefore I am asking you, should we use or not? I said, see, you are wearing tilak. No, your kantimala is there, bead bag is there. But then once he said, I became very angry in the train. One fellow spoke to me like this. I said, if you don't give gali, you know, what do you think people will say? He said, Prabhuji, people will think, kamjor hai. You know, I am a weak-minded person. Therefore, I am not giving gali back. I said, no, you are wearing tilak and you are carrying bead bag. If you just turn your face away from him and you just chant, people will think you are a perfect gentleman. You don't have to. First of all, you should not have allowed that person to speak gali. You must have said something which brought the gali out. Correct, na? So unnecessarily, you don't. Generally, what happens in the outside world when we go, there are envious living entities and improper living entities. We should try to avoid our altercation with them. Altercation means quarrel with them. Because if you quarrel, then they may call names. And then if you call bad names, people will catch whom? They will catch, he also said gali, you said gali, but people will find fault with whom? Why only they say devotees? Why don't they find fault with him, that other fellow? They have expectation from devotees. Correct, no? Therefore, Brahma is telling, don't lose sight of your ultimate goal in tackling disturbances. Because when you get such a disturbance, you should think about the utility value of the disturbance. Can that disturbance be fruitful in any way? If you increase the disturbance with that fellow, imagine he tells you something, you catch his collar, he catches your collar, you know, you slap him, he slaps you. Is it good? It's a very bad reputation. So one should find out ways to resolve the fight and go ahead with the goal. Some people I have seen, in whenever there are some small accidents and there are quarrels, some people will come to pacify the situation. They are intelligent people, because situation should be pacified and you look at the goal ahead. The goal is to please Vishnu. So that's a heading I've written, not losing sight of our goal in tackling disturbance. So Brahma gave very convincing reasons. In each verse he gives different reasons. Here he gave the reason that if your religion you want to stop, you have, the previous verse he said, you have come, you have descended in this world to establish religion. And your Vena was a irreligious fellow. Then you were bringing religion. Now again you are bringing irreligion through Indra. So is it justified? Like that he asked before. So not lose sight of our goal in tackling disturbances. Actually, this is one of the biggest problems in our mind during chanting. When we are chanting, the mind brings one problem and puts in the table first. What do you think about this? And then mind starts analyzing different opinions. You know, it can happen like this, it can happen like that, maybe another third one, possibility, different possibility. You know. And then he says, shh, moves the head. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then puts one more. And then it thinks, it worries about the past. ऐसा नहीं होना था, हो गया. कम से कम भविष्य में देखना चाहे हमको, ऐसा करना चाहे. सो द माइंड जनरली, इफ यू वेरी केयरफुली ऑब्जर्व द माइंड ड्यूरिंग चैंटिंग, वॉट माइंड डज, इट ब्रिंग्स वन थॉट, अनालाइजेज इट. एंड देन एक्चुअली माइंड डजंट एनालाइज, एनालिसिस हू डज? इंटेलिजेंस. इंटेलिजेंस डज द एनालिसिस. बट द माइंड कीप्स एक्सप्रेसिंग फियर्स, होप्स, फीलिंग्स. दीज आर एक्सप्रेस बाय द माइंड, यू नो. सो होप्स मीन्स फॉर द फ्यूचर, bad feelings means about the past. It keeps expressing, and then the intelligence also tries to analyze it. So our whole chanting gets spoiled. So in this way, the goal is to chant for the pleasure of the Lord. Are we able to chant? Many times we are dragged away by the mind. So we can say many things like that. Let us proceed to the 37th below. Read the 17th one.
Criticizing a personality empowered to preach bhakti extraordinarily is a punishable offense.
Either Prabhupada says, if you read the 37th purport, last part, last para, you read in 37th purport.
When King Prithu is described as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, it should be understood that he is Shaktavesh Avatar, part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, and is specifically empowered by him. Any living being acting as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu is thus empowered by Lord Vishnu to preach the bhakti cult. Such a person can act like Lord Vishnu and defeat demons by arguments and preach the bhakti cult exactly according to principles of Shastra. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever we find someone extraordinarily preaching the bhakti cult, we should know that he is specially empowered by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna.
Like Srila Prabhupada, extraordinarily someone is preaching and expanding it all over the world, making the whole world dance to the tune of the holy name. You have seen one video of Prabhupada where in Mayapur is ringing the bell, dang, dang. Then all the devotees are also jumping up and down. You have seen that? Isn't it? So, Makanlal Prabhu is now, as well as Bhakti Madhuri Govind Maharaj. So he was telling, when I say that when Prabhupada rings the bell, the whole world dances according to his tune, it is not an exaggeration. He said, actually he made the whole world dance to Krishna's tune. So Prabhupada had that ability. So that's what he's saying. He's an empowered Shaktavesh. Yes.
As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrit Antya 7.11, Krishna Shakti Vinana Hi Tara Pavartan. One cannot explain the glories of holy name of Lord without being specifically empowered by him. If one criticizes or finds fault with such an empowered personality, one is to be considered an offender against Lord Vishnu and is punishable.
Yeah. So when Prabhupada became successful in America and came to India, there were some envious god brothers of Prabhupada who told that actually this Swami Maharaj, he was a very great businessman before. He was doing pharmaceutical business. So he has used some of his business tactics to start this movement because he knows the mindset of people. So he made Rath Yatras, you know, he got the American boys and girls and inspired them to build some, you know, purchase some churches and put some people and start with some activity. He made them do some diorama shows and everything. And being a businessman, he knew how to make money in America, bring it to India and build the three temples, Vrindavan, Mayapur and Juhu. So it's all his business tactics, like that they were saying, some of them. So when the news reached Prabhupada's ears, Prabhupada didn't become angry. Prabhupada said, okay, where does Krishna say one should not use one's business talents in his service? As the Prabhupada asked. So Prabhupada asked, who said you guys not to use it? You could have also used it. And Prabhupada told a story. He said when Columbus discovered America, many of his colleagues in his country, they said, this is not a big deal. He went around the world searching for India and then he landed in America. It's very obvious. He just came like this across the globe. So he landed in America. That's not a very big deal. And then Columbus, what he said to the other people, oh, they are saying like this. He said, so he took one egg and he asked his friends, Do you know how to keep this egg on the table? You should keep it standing. It should not fall like this, because the oval, it's like this, no? If you keep it like this, it falls away. But it has to stand like this only. And his friends tried several times. They couldn't make it stand. They said, that is impossible, they said. And then he said, I will show you how to do it. He took it and he cut the bottom like this. And then he kept it on the table. Now it was standing like this. They said, oh, this is not a very difficult thing. Even we can do it also. He said, you can do it, but I showed you how to do it. He said, and Prabhupada quoted this story. Huh? Prabhupada said, you guys now know how to expand Krishna consciousness because I have shown you. So who did it first time? He said, good challenge, no? See how intelligent Prabhupada is. Huh? You see? So now not only ISKCON, many organizations have come to know how to do things. They also have their buses. They send out people. Hmm? They also celebrate festivals. Huh? They have music. They have refreshments, huh? Food, prasad and everything. So, but originally who showed it? Prabhupada showed it. And how Prabhupada could show it? Because Krishna is empowering him. Huh? In fact, the Bhakti Mata's statement that Videsham Gacchami, which he says in the Bhagavat Mahatmya, that was fulfilled only by Prabhupada. Nobody else did it first. Later on, some Gaudiya Mata also went to preach abroad. Those are all secondary, tertiary, you know, people. The primary person who did it was Prabhupada. So, to criticize an acharya saying that he's a businessman is an offense. Because of envy, some people, they could not do it. When Prabhupada did it, they criticized him. You see? So, when somebody does something wonderful, extraordinary, one should heartily appreciate. And if one is not feeling appreciation, at least one should not comment. But when one criticizes, then it becomes a punishable offense, like the Prabhupada says. It becomes a punishable offense. Actually, Krishna also responded to Prabhupada because of Prabhupada's immense sacrifices. He had a great conviction also. Even his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, identified, even though he was a man living outside the temple as a grihastha doing business and everything, whenever he came to temple and sang kirtan, playing mridangam, and he spoke a lecture, so Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, see, he is speaking so well because he has heard well. No? And whatever he speaks, whatever he writes, you publish it, print it. Like that he gave instruction. So he had won the goodwill of the guru also. No? But the other god brothers who were sitting in their own mathas, becoming mathadipati, they were just commenting, looking and commenting, although they had no ability to even imitate Prabhupada, but they were criticizing. Therefore, here Prabhupada says this. Even though such offenders may dress as Vaishnavas with false tilaka and mala, they are never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnava, he says. So therefore, I wrote the heading. Read the heading, the theme.
Criticizing a personality empowered to preach bhakti extraordinarily is punishable offense.
Yeah. So 39 we will go. 38 we have read it. 38 we have read. 39. Maitreya Vuvacha Ittam Saloka Guruna Samadishto Vishampatihi Tata Chakritva Vatsalyam Maghonapi Chasandade.
The great sage Maitreya continued, when King Prithu was thus advised by the supreme leader, Lord Brahma, he abandoned his eagerness to perform yajnas and with great affection concluded a peace with King Indra.
Yeah, he abandoned his eagerness to perform yajnas and with great affection concluded a peace with King Indra, he says. See, the word vatsalyam is used. Affection. Kritva vatsalyam. Maghonapi. Maghona is Indra. Sandade. He concluded peace with him. It says, so when Mother Earth was not yielding, he became very angry also. And then eventually Mother Earth yielded everything. Here in the case of Indra, he quickly gave up his anger. It is said, why he gave up his anger very quickly? Because he understood that is required for the welfare of Praja. For the whole welfare of the world, I have to give up anger. Even so, all of us have experience of becoming angry. So one of the things we should immediately do when we become angry is to find out why my mind is becoming angry. Why? There must be some reason for my anger. What is the reason for my anger? Probably I'm frustrated that I expected something, that expectation was not fulfilled. So another thing we should think about is the consequence of anger. The cause of anger and consequence of anger, both we have to think. So, and when you think about the cause of anger, you laugh at yourself, because there are many people who can have far more bigger reasons for becoming angry. Our cause is a very small cause. We become very angry for a very small problem. Correct, no? Like somebody forgot something, we become very angry. Somebody promised something, they did not give it on time, you become very angry also. And from somebody you had a big expectation, but they only fulfilled a small expectation, we become angry. Somebody did not give me something exactly the same way I wanted, they are giving it in a different way, I become angry. Actually, if you find out the cause, then maybe 100 or 1,000 reasons for becoming angry. So, when one has to find out the cause of anger, but more important than that is to contemplate on the consequences of anger. At a particular point of time. So he thought, Prithu, oh, all my praja will become irreligious seeing Indra's multiple vesh bogus sannyasis. All Kapalika and Naga Babas, different kinds of. So as soon as he thought about it, he thought, what am I doing? If all people become irreligious, my whole project will be defeated. So then he thought, oh, now I will conclude peace with Indra. So this fellow, let him go to his abode and be peaceful. I'll be peaceful here. Immediately concluded peace. So, I told you in the morning also, for forgiveness there are many reasons. So one reason is daya, compassion, remembering the relationship, the desire to preserve the relationship. Then we may forgive. So Buddha, in one of his teachings, he gave one very valuable statement. He said, if you see the other people as wicked, then you will become angry, he said. If you see them as ignorant, you will feel sympathy, he said. So now, Brahma personally came down and told Prithu, see, demigods like Indra, they have material desires. What can we do? They are not pure devotee class. They have material desires and they have fears, insecurities. Please, samajh kar chalo. So then Prithu started feeling pity for Indra. Oh, he is struggling due to his insecurity. Poor fellow. So he felt sympathy for Indra rather than consider Indra as a wicked and mischievous person. Isn't it? Because initially he considered him as wicked, because he's stealing the horse. Initially he thought of him to be wicked, but later he considered him to be, you know, poor hearted because of his material desires, which Brahma told him. So he was willing to forgive. Anyway, this fellow is struggling with his desire to hold on to his position. Leave him. I can forgive him. No problem. So Buddha says this. If you change your outlook about the people with whom you have problem, there is one another very amazing statement I read. One writer says that if you know the problems that your enemies are undergoing in their life, you know, you will stop becoming angry at them or becoming envious of them, he says. You understand, huh? That means Prithu contemplated, if he is an insecure fellow, how much he must be suffering? Because insecure fellows suffer far more than anyone else. Correct, no? So then you feel only pity for them. Correct, no? So he made peace with him. Forgave him. Yeah, read this translation of 40.
After this, Prithu Maharaj took his bath, which is customarily taken after the performance of yajna, and received the benedictions and due blessings of the demigods, who were very pleased by his glorious activities.
Yeah. And 41 translation.
With great respect, the original king, Prithu, offered all kinds of rewards to Brahmanas present at the sacrifice. Since all these Brahmanas were very much satisfied they gave their heartfelt blessings to the king.
Yeah. Next one, last one.
All the great sages and brahmanas said, "O mighty king, by your invitation, all classes of living entities have attended this assembly. They have come from Pitraloka and heavenly planets, and the great sages as well as common man have attended this meeting. Now all of them are very much satisfied by your dealings and your charity towards them."
They are happy with the charity that you gave all of them. They are happy with your dealings with Indra. How you maturely dealt with the situation. Can anybody give an example of how someone, like here in this example, Prithu Maharaj dealing with Indra pleased all the citizens and all the demigods and all the sages and all those who have assembled. So they all gave him heartfelt blessings by his behavior. So we can give two examples. One example of one superior like Prithu, who could act to the occasion appropriately and won the blessings of superiors. And you can give another example of someone who acted wrongly in a situation and leading to all the living entities becoming displeased around. Yes, let's take Radha Prabhu one example. Where the mic? Daksha's speech was displeasing to all the members of the assembly. It was very harsh speech and it was offensive speech about Shiva. Very offensive speech about against Lord Shiva. And many of them plugged their ears and ran out of that assembly. Those who were intelligent. So they could not take it. And then when he was offended like that, who became offended? Nandi became offended. Nandi said, "Stop! What is going on? How can anyone offend the Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu? How can somebody offend him like this?" Then Nandi started glorifying Shiva. See, whenever a great personality is offended, then by profuse glorification of that personality, that ether will be purified. So Nandi praised Shiva. But then Nandi became angry with Daksha Prajapati's followers, the Brahmanas. So then he, in the name of praising Shiva, he also criticized the Brahmanas and gave them curses. Correct, no? So he gave curses. And then those Brahmanas became very angry at the curse. They said, "We also curse Shiva's followers. Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, and they become Mayavadis, impersonalists, and they also gave curse." So it became a sabha filled with blasphemies. And not just blasphemies, back and forth blasphemies. The whole atmosphere. See, there Daksha is doing yajna, here Prithu is doing yajna. There Daksha, you know, made a mole into a mountain. Because everybody got up in great respect. Because Daksha's expectation of respect was so much that one person didn't get up and he couldn't take it. Because he already had a grudge towards Shiva before only. So because of that, he spoiled the whole sacrifice because of his behavior. On the other hand, you find Prithu very successfully. He didn't do the yajna sacrifice. Still everybody blessed him and they gave heartfelt blessings to the king for his dealings. For his backing out from the 100th yajna, he got so much blessing. Can you imagine? For not doing like this. So another example. Yadru Maharaj, what he did? He stopped and Kubera was happy. Okay, he received blessings from Kubera, yeah. He must have definitely received blessings from Swayam Bhuman also. But I was asking for example where a large number of people are pleased, like Prithu's case. Pleased. Displeased example, he already told our Daksha Prajapati example he gave. Any other example? Ambarish Maharaj. Yeah, Ambarish Maharaj, when he desisted from Durvasa Muni's behavior, certainly Durvasa Muni himself glorified Ambarish Maharaj.
Bharat,
personally.
Bharat Maharaj.
Huh?
Bharat into Raman took the. So it was very pleasing to everyone, all the citizens and all, by the act of Bharat. We want Ram to become the king. But
that is a good example. Yeah, actually, when Bharat came, all the citizens looked at him with a doubtful eye from a distance. Agaya, you know, like that. Now he is the fellow who want to be the king, and he drove his elder brother away like that. But then Bharat was a different, made up of different personality. You see, he cried loudly and he went to all the three mothers, fell at their feet, and then he asked about the father, knew everything, and then he called all the ministers and Ayodhya Vasis and cried out loudly, said, "I don't want to be the king." And all of them congratulated him for not wanting to be the king. And then he said, "Not only I don't want to be the king, I will go to the forest and bring Ram right now. And then any of you want to follow me, you follow me." Then all Ayodhya Vasis went with him and they were all very happy. All of them heartily blessed Bharat. Now they understood the heart of Bharat, how Bharat is. And then when he took the paduka of Ram and came back, you know, he got great blessings of everybody. That's a very nice example. Yeah. Yes. Parikshit, that was the example I was looking for. Parikshit example. Because Parikshit could have given a counter curse to whom? Sringi. But he didn't give. Rather, he went to the bank of Ganga. Tammo payatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi chittamishe vijopasrishtaskuhakastakshakova vijat dashatvalam gayata vishnu gatha. He's telling, dashatu, may that snake bird or whatever bite me in 7 days, but I will utilize these 7 days hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of saintly people in the bank of Ganges from Shukadeva Goswami. So he was amazingly blessed. All sages spoke such sweet words to him. And they praised him, they blessed him. King of the world, actually being king of the world, he had the power to take action on that small Brahmana boy, which he didn't take. He had the power to curse back, but he didn't curse. So that's very glorious. So and then he, all of them also heard. And then on the last day, the demigods showered flowers on Parikshit, indicating that this personality is now going to be taken in a Vaikunthar plane, back home, back to Godhead, you see. So that's a nice example. Similarly here, Prithu Maharaj became pleased. Prithu Maharaj's praja became very pleased with his dealings and with the charity that he gave and his conduct to us. Now, some of us may think, Prabhuji, is it not like anti-climax? You know, I came, I saw, I ran away. Climax means I came, I saw, I conquered. So he came, he prepared for 100 sacrifice and then he gave up the sacrifice. Is it not anticlimax? No. Still it is climax because Vishnu is pleased, Brahma is pleased, all the Praja is pleased, then what more is required? Correct, no? So that is more important. So in our life also we should know what is real heroism. You know, once Gaurang Prabhu was asking me an amazing question which I could not immediately answer. He was asking, Tata Shaurir, like that there is one shloka in the, you know, tam adbhutam balakam ambujekshanam, there is one verse. Tam adbhutam balakam ambujekshanam, those verses come when Krishna appears, you know. After that there is one verse called Tata Shaurir. So he asked, why is Vasudev called Shauri? He asked. And he asked me, you know, what is the meaning of Shura? Shurata means one who has tremendous power, tremendous valor, great kshatriya. He's called as a shurvir, we call that, like that. But then he said, many, many people who read Kamsa and Vasudeva interaction, many people want to make cinema out of these pastimes. But then they feel very sad that Vasudeva did not take any action against Kamsa. Because they want some action scene. You know, Kamsa is releasing his sword. Whereas, you know, Vasudev is just waiting next to Kamsa. He is not taking any action. And many cinema car people, they have read Bhagavatam and Mahabharata to find out, is there anywhere that Vasudev is taking action? Not only in front of Kamsa, with Devaki's hair caught by Kamsa, he is not taking sword. Who? Vasudev. He is speaking very politely, nice philosophy. And after he is put in jail also, he is a kshatriya. But in jail also, he does not raise the sword, he doesn't fight, he doesn't make even endeavor to escape also. You have seen, no? And not only that, 8 children were born one after another. Still, Vasudeva was peaceful there. Then what kind of shurata is that? He was asking. I said, very interesting. Yeah, because he never showed shurata and he is called Shurvir. Then he said his real shurata is his obedience to Krishna. Krishna told him, put your sword inside because I am going to be born, don't lift it. So he didn't lift it. That is Ishwarata, I said. So that is a statement that it takes courage to stand up and speak on the stage. It takes the same courage to sit down and hear. Similarly, you all know the car race they have, no? Going very, very fast. Similarly, there is another car race which is slow car race. You know, there is a fast car race, there is slow car race. You have to go, they will give prize to the slowest car. Whichever car comes last, only they will give. So everybody tries to drive as slowly as possible. Cycle also is there, slow cycle race. Some people stand almost in the same place, they don't move at all. You know, and cycle is going to fall, then they will move little bit. So Vaishnava knows both. He knows fast race also and slow race also. What is fast race? When Krishna told Arjuna, fight, he fought. When Dhruva was told, keep the sword inside, kept inside. So Vaishnava knows both races. Understand, no? Here, Prithu knows to conduct 99 yajnas. And when he is told, stop the 100th one, he puts the 100th one inside. No, I will not do it. Correct, no? That is also Shurata. Great. Great valor. Is that clear? So read the two themes.
Showing forgiveness and affection to the sinful and envious.
Yeah. For example, somebody may say, if I shout, no, everybody will be afraid. Somebody says, that is not a great thing. If a person who can shout and make others afraid, if he can restrain himself equally, that is very great. Correct, no? So, in the same hand, he's saying, showing forgiveness to whom? If somebody says, Prabhuji, you know, if somebody exactly does what I tell them to do, then I will forgive them. But here you find he is forgiving someone who is sinful and envious. Like Prahlad Maharaj forgave his father, Hiranyakashipu also. You know, Ambarish forgave Durvasamuni. So this kind of forgiveness is not very easy. Many times we have our own idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness means exactly that fellow does what I say, then I will forgive. Here you find they are able to forgive even envious also. Mischievous. Actually, for me also, if somebody is mischievous, it's very difficult to forgive. I will say, if you're a good fellow, I will forgive. If you give up your mischief, admit honestly, then I will forgive. But if you're mischievous, oh, hypocrisy, you know, I cannot take it. So whenever I read this Bhagavatam, I'm shocked hearing this. Hearing this type of pastimes. Because, see, somebody has weakness, it is acceptable. But somebody is hypocritical, it is very difficult to. How many of you feel you will tolerate weakness and forgive, but you cannot tolerate hypocrisy? Correct, no? Yeah, it's very. But here you find Indra does hypocritical behavior. You know, actually, if I were in Prithu's position, I would have told Prithu that, you know, Indra, theek hai, Brahma ne bol diya, abhi rok deta hun, tum chehra mat dikhao, nikal jao abhi. Correct, no? You know, if I see you, I'll beat you up. Correct, no? Better you get out. Anyway, ultimately you got what you wanted, you rascal. So go. Correct, no? That is the kind of feeling we may get. But you find he is forgiving him, and he is forgetting the malice, he is showing affection for him. Oh, therefore, you find the Vaishnava Siddhant is the highest actually. You cannot find anything beyond this. It is just impossible. It is 19th one.
Satisfying great personalities by dealings and charity and receiving their blessings.
Yeah. So by his good dealings and by giving charity abundantly, he received blessings of everybody, demigods, sages, brahmanas, and the general masses, and Supreme Lord Vishnu, and Brahma, everybody blessed him. This is the perfection of life actually. So he didn't get blessing by doing what he wanted. He achieved blessing by obeying his superiors. That brought him blessing. Many times people think, if I get what I want, whole world will applaud for me. That is foolishness actually. In Vaishnava Siddhanta, our appreciation that we gain actually comes due to blessings, you see. So, the next chapter, 20th chapter. Now, it's a very sweet section. At least, we will try to do that. Lord is instructing Prithu and Lord's affectionate dealing with Prithu. And then prayers of Prithu to Lord Vishnu and Lord giving benedictions to Prithu. See, in every chapter you will find, in the previous chapter, what was in the background of your mind, what was going on in your head. Like, you must have seen Indra flying away with the horse, and Prithu and the Brahmanas doing Vedic sacrifice, and Prithu's son coming and then taking bow and arrow going to attack Indra. Correct? This scene came in front of you. And then subsequently the scene changed. Brahma and Prithu talking. Correct, no? With which we ended the previous chapter. So in this chapter, what you are going to see, you know, Lord Vishnu is coming with Indra in his Garuda, and then Lord is putting his hand in Garuda one side, and one side twirling a lotus. Next to him Indra is standing, and Indra is bowing down to Prithu. Before Indra can bow on the ground, Prithu is lifting him up and embracing him, and Prithu is present. And then Lord gives personal instructions to Prithu, one to one. I think Indra must have offered obeisances and gone away. There is no mention of Indra after that. He just comes, seeks forgiveness, sorry, he says. And then Prithu embraces him with tears in his eyes and he pushes off. Then Lord and Prithu are having a dialogue, beautiful dialogue. Lord Vishnu gives amazing one-to-one instructions to Prithu, and how Lord affectionately dealt with Prithu. And then the prayers of Prithu to Lord, and they are also very nice. So almost like half the chapter, Lord speaking to Prithu, and another half chapter, Prithu speaking to Lord. So this whole chapter is about Lord and Prithu. Lord Vishnu and Prithu in this chapter. Yeah. See, Lord is going to give instruction. Let us hear a few instructions. Take the 28th chapter. What is the verse number 1? You can read translation.
The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Vishnu appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra. Lord Vishnu then began to speak.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Yeshate Karshid Bhangam Hayame Dashatasyah Kshamapayata Atmanam Amushyakshantum Arhasi. Translation.
Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, "My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him."
In that purport, last line, Prabhupada is saying, body is only a superficial covering. Consequently, an advanced transcendentist will not make a distinction between oneself and another. So the body is a changing phenomenon, childhood to boyhood to youth to old age, and the body falls apart, it becomes ashes. So he says that one should not become envious of the body, which is a temporary phenomenon, perishable phenomenon. Even when Ravana had died, Lord Rama told Vibhishan to perform the antyeshti. And Vibhishan said, he was such a sinful person that I don't feel like doing antim kriya for him. And then Lord Ram said, "See, Ravana is as much a brother for me, as much I consider you my brother." Like that Ram said. "So if you don't do for him, then I will do it." In this way, Lord Ram proved to the world that his samyata, means equality, is towards all living entities, including Ravana also. Then Vibhishan said, "Oh, if you are ready to do, then why should I not do? I can do." Then he did that after that. So, and then Rama made one very interesting statement. He said, "See, when Ravana was alive, you tried to rectify him. You couldn't change his heart because he remained what he was. But then once he has died, the soul has left the body, then along with the person's death, we should forget all his malicious activities also," the Lord said. "Because that body is gone now. Don't think of the past. Now think of the good that he did." Like that Lord Ram told him. So in this way, I learnt one lesson there, that even if somebody is bad, if somebody has died, one should not talk about his bad past, which is gone case. Why to talk about it? He's not going to do those activities again now. It's already over. So one should look ahead on the future. So in Dhruva Maharaj section also, repeated theme is this: don't envy the bodies of other living entities. Like that he says, Bhuta Vaishasam is used. Just like in the goats are cut in a slaughterhouse, similarly we should not try to see the material bodies of the living entities and envy them. The meaning of this is what? The soul is always pure. But covering the soul is the subtle and gross body which are impure, which behave erratically. So the erratic behavior is due to the gross and subtle coverings. But the soul proper is very pure. So see the pure soul, divine soul in everybody's body, and don't see the impurity in the gross and subtle coverings, and don't envy that. Because you are envying something that is temporary. Correct, no? You are envying something that will turn into ashes. So it is uselessness. It's like sometimes you will see a dog when we are going in our sumo outside, no? A dog will chase after the sumo. You have seen that? So Prabhupada says, why it chases? Because the dog thinks the sumo to be a big elephant or something. It cannot see properly. It thinks of it to be some big creature. Wow, wow, wow. It will keep coming running all the while. If you will see like that. So because dog cannot see that this is a sumo and inside the sumo there is a driver and people are sitting, he can't see that. Similarly, a person who cannot see the Atma Tattvam in a living body, he becomes envious of the superficial body. So everybody is carrying a superficial body, which is changing body, and it will just mix with sand over a period of time. It comes from earth, it will return back to earth. There is no point becoming envious of that. Like that the Lord told him. That's the first thing he told him. Read the theme.
An intelligent devotee does not take action on soul or body if there is any discrepancy, or forgiveness, the quality of one advancing in spiritual knowledge.
So this is the second verse which you are going to read now. This is a very famous verse. Sudhiya sadhava loke naradeva narottamaha nabidruhyanti bhutebhyo yarhinatma kalevaram.
O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best among human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul.
Yeah. Purport first para.
In daily life, we find that when a madman commits murder, is excused even by a high court judge. The idea is that a living entity is always pure because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he falls into clutches of material energy, he becomes a victim of three modes of material nature. Indeed, whatever he does under the influence of material nature, as stated in Bhagavad Gita.
Very beautiful point, you see. So, if somebody harms me or hurts me by insult or something, how should I see it? I should see that, you know, they are driven by Rajaguna or something. You know, they are simply puppets in the hands of Maya. Even when you see karmis also, when they are dealing with us improperly by speech, then we understand that, oh, they are simply puppets in the hands of Maya. Why to become angry with them? If you see like that, then we can easily forgive and we can go on with our life. So that's the first thing Prabhupada explains. Actually, also, when sometimes when a doctor is giving an injection to a patient, the patient shouts loudly, he shouts loudly. And doctor doesn't take any offense. Correct? Huh? He knows every patient does that when you give an injection. You know? Or sometimes the patient may yell at the doctor also. But the doctor tolerates because he has to treat the patient. If doctor becomes angry, then who will treat? Isn't it? So devotees are supposed to act like doctors. Actually, you try to convince a conditioned soul to surrender to Krishna, they will create a lot of trouble for you. You will see that. They will call you an enemy also. They will complain to somebody and bring another two people to beat you up. So they will bring a lot of problems. We have seen sometimes when brahmacharis join ashram, you know, sometimes the whole family will come to pick up a big quarrel, fight. You can see that sometimes when people surrender to Krishna. So in this world, it's not uncommon. So the angry behavior or rash behavior of the living entities should be seen based on that verse, Prakriti. They are puppets in hands of Prakriti, yeah? Three gunas, especially Rajaguna, Tamaguna. Huh? They are simply puppets. What can they do? They are simply dancing. Why? If a puppeteer is making the puppet dance, one should know this puppet is dancing or yelling because the puppeteer is making, huh? With his fingers. He is making. Similarly, Maya Devi is moving her fingers, huh? With three gunas. And people are acting. So why to become, Apsadi is saying like that, yeah. Hmm. So Prabhupada is saying, Sudhiya Sadhavo Loke means, when one is a devotee advanced in intelligence. And the last line, if you see, last four lines, you read that Sudhi means intelligence.
Sudhi means intelligence. Sudhi means highly advanced. And devotee. One who is both devotee and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or body.
Ah, that means he forgives. He doesn't take action means, okay, he cannot take action on the soul. Why? Soul is pure. He can't take action on the body. Why? He's connected with three modes. Then on whom will he take action? And he understands, if I am getting hurt by insult, that is also possible because of my false ego also. Correct, no? So he doesn't take action at all. He just continues his devotional service, surrender to Lord. So that is the meaning of Sudhiya. And the most important thing, Sudhiya Sadhava Loke means he doesn't identify with his material body. He knows that this, like one time my spiritual master was telling many years ago, in his 91-92 lectures, he was telling that if somebody says you that you are very small, he said, why do you get offended? You are only 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair inside this body. Are you not small? He asked all of us in the audience, are you not small? Yes, Maharaj. Then why are you upset? You are small only. If somebody calls you small, actually somebody is calling you small, they don't know how small you are. You should actually tell them, I am more smaller than whatever small you are thinking. Like that you are telling. If you know your true identity, isn't it? So why? Where is the reason to get offended? Correct, no? Because we think we are big, therefore we get offended. And why do we think we are big? Because of? False ego. So we can understand, I am getting hurt because of false ego, ahankar. Correct, no? And also, so in this way, a person in Sudhiya Sadhava Loke, he doesn't identify with the material body. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj never asked for anything material when he went to Kuvera also. So like that, very nice verse, Sudhiya Sadhava Loke. Fourth verse, Purushaya Dimuhyanti Tvadrisha Deva Mayaya Shramayeva Paramjato Dirghaya Vriddha Sevaya. Hey Prithu, for Dirghakal, you have done Vriddha Seva. Dirghakal means what? Long time. For long time you have done service to Brahmanas and sages and saints. You have done. And Yadi Muhyanti. If you become bewildered now by Maya Shakti, by illusory potency, then all these years of progress you made, that is like Shramayeva Paramjato, he's saying, it will all go in vain, he's telling. Read the translation. Yeah.
If a personality like you, who are so much advanced because of executing the instructions of previous acharyas, is carried away by the influence of my material energy, then all your advancement may be considered simply a waste of time.
Yeah. So, this is very important. We all should remember that we have come to ISKCON and Prabhupada shelter in this wonderful organization many years ago. And one small blunder we commit, and that blunder can, you know, make us lose our reputation completely. It has happened to people. Somebody has fallen down with some woman, or somebody has blooped from Krishna consciousness. So one blunder, if one does, then that can become, like for example, if because of one's speculation, speculative tendencies, we start finding fault against Prabhupada. For example, we criticize Prabhupada. Or there are people who have criticized the spiritual master. Or they have criticized some sannyasi, some gurus, which has come to the public eye, isn't it? Or somebody failed in preserving their purity, they fell from their pure platform by committing some blunder. Because in this world, one should control one's mind and senses and by keeping them constantly engaged in Krishna service. Otherwise, it has happened in this world that people have fallen prey to opposite sex in this world. So, one can commit some blunder and that blunder will become a black mark in one's character. And because of that, although one has done many, many years of service, that one black mark is enough for people to wipe out all his service. Then nobody will care for it. You will find whenever some sannyasis or somebody fell down in ISKCON, do you think people talk about what all services they did? Does anybody talk about it? What do people talk about? Fell down, fell down. That's what the only thing they will talk. And people will ask questions about that. Itna saal seva kiya hai, they will not see that. That's what Lord is also saying. Especially people who are given leadership position, they have to be very careful. If you read Ataitanina Seveta Bubushaha Purushaha Kwachit, you know where this comes? Dharmashilo Rajagnyo. Like that, there's a verse. It comes, you know where? Dyutam Panam Sriya Suna Yatra Adharmash Chaturvida. After that verse, next verse, it says that Abhyartidam Stada Tada Tasmai Sthanani Kalaya Dadao Dyutam Panam Sriya Suna Yatra Adharmash Chaturvida. That means meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. These four are the places where Kali is given a place. And then he is saying, what the next verse is? Ata Yetani. Ata Yetani means these four items. He says, Na Seveta Bubushuhu Purushaha Kwachit. Purushaha Kwachit. Especially one who is an executive head or a president or a public leader or a king or brahmanas, anybody given some leadership role. Leadership role means you are given some people to care for below you. So such people, he says, absolutely should abstain from this. Four sinful tendencies, he's telling. Otherwise, he says that once they lose their repute, nobody will even turn to them. Nobody will want to listen to them. Nobody will hear from them. Nobody will take their instructions seriously. They lose the power, they lose potency. So therefore, Lord warned him that if you antagonize Indra and create a black track record, right now, as Prithu, you till now had a first-class record. What all record you have? You know, you ran behind earth and then made the earth yield everything finally. She, seeing your yajna and everything, she became happy. She gave abundant, you know, release of things and all she gave. Correct, no? Similarly, you have many, many sublime qualities which are appreciated by sages, brahmanas. And you and Archi have come. And you, not only that, you are a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord. Correct? So you have a lot of good qualifications. But all these good qualifications will become null and void if you mistreat one person, Indra. Like that he warned him. So even all of you, in your lives you can see what all good track record you have. The first best track record you have is you came to ISKCON. Correct? No, you didn't get misled by other organizations. Then you started chanting 16 rounds. And how many years you were chanting 16 rounds? You see? How many years you are eating only prasad? How many years? See, one devotee was going in the train and he was sleeping. Suddenly he got up in Karjat and he purchased a vada pav and ate it. So somebody saw it. They went and complained to the seniors that I saw this fellow eating two vada pavs. So they asked him, hey, how did you do like this? He said, I don't know, I was sleeping, I was tired. When I got up, I was hungry, so I purchased and ate. He said, now the devotee is no more in the... He has blooped now. He has gone away. Because he acted whimsically. Momentarily, he acted whimsically. Now he is gone now. No more in proper association. You will see that. So we have... Actually, one of the greatest dangers for us is our whimsical mind. Whimsical mind wants to act independently. And exactly wants to do things which are prohibited for us. Whatever you tell the mind, don't do. Why not I do this? Kya hoga abhi karunga to? You know, I will do it. So what? Like that the mind speaks. So here also Prithu's mind might have troubled him that, you know, why can't I take action on Indra? Why Brahma is stopping me? Therefore Vishnu is continuing good instruction. After Brahma's job is over, still, see, Brahma made him oblige externally, but Vishnu is making him oblige internally. Because which is more easy, external obligation or internal obligation? External is very easy. Somebody told you, hey, chup, ye nahi khane ka, theek hai, main nahi khaunga. He is watching. And then when mother is not there, abhi koi nahi, abhi khaunga. Correct, no? So sometimes externally we may oblige. So Prithu externally said, okay, I will stop the sacrifice. But Vishnu knew very well, external superficial obligation is not enough. He wanted to internally convince him actually that, you know, why you... So he is teaching very deep philosophy, which we will continue tomorrow. He is teaching him about how you should not identify people with their bodies, nor should you identify yourself with your body. And then Lord will gradually go to higher and higher points. He will say about giving up malaise and also developing Vaishnava qualities. And by these things, how, you know, we should be sympathetic to all living beings, including the mischievous ones. We should tolerate them. Because the mischievous living entities are not mischievous, living entities are pure. Only the subtle body is mischievous, carrying mischievous scripts. So that is actually something going to fall away eventually. Srila Prabhupada ki, aur Bhakta Vrinda ki.